Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 43 to 44. Saisha Tarhantasta,
Saisha Tarhantasta,
Asanam Partivo Chittam,
Asanam Partivo Chittam,
Pitamaheno Panyastam,
Pitamaheno Panyastam,
Rajnaranyam Vivikshita,
Rajnaranyam Vivikshita,
Aste Dunasa Rajarshi,
Aste Dunasa Rajarshi,
Kauravendra Shriolasan,
Kauravendra Shriolasan,
Gajavaye Mahabhagash,
Gajavaye Mahabhagash,
Chakravarti Rihachtrava,
Chakravarti Rihachtrava,
Sa,
Hi,
Esha,
Esha,
This, Etarhi,
Etarhi,
At the present,
present.
Adyaste,
Adyaste,
Is ruling over,
Is ruling over,
Asanam,
Asanam,
The throne,
throne.
Partiva Uchitam,
Partiva Uchitam,
Just befitting a king,
Pitamahena,
by the grandfather.
Upanyastam,
being handed over.
Rajya,
by the king.
Aranyam,
forest. Vivikshita,
desiring.
Aste,
is there.
Aduna,
at present.
Sa,
that.
Rajarishi,
Rajarishi,
the sage amongst the kings.
The sage amongst the kings.
Kaurava
Indra,
the chief amongst the Kuru kings.
The chief amongst the Kuru kings.
Shriya,
Shriya,
glories.
Glories.
Ullasan,
Ullasan,
spreading.
Spreading.
Gajavaye,
Gajavaye,
in Hastinapur.
In
Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga,
the most fortunate.
Chakravarti,
the emperor. Brihachrava, highly famous. Translation. The most fortunate emperor, Maharaj Brijit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success, due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Purport. The prolonged sacrificial ceremonies undertaken by the sages of Naimisaranya were begun shortly after the demise of Maharaj Prichit. The sacrifice was to continue for 1,000 years, and it is understood that in the beginning, some of the contemporaries of Baladeva, the older brother of Lord Krishna, also visited the sacrificial place. According to some authorities, the present tense is used also to indicate the nearest margin of time from the past. In that sense, the present tense is applied to the reign of Maharaj Prichit here. For a continuous fact, also, present tense can be used. The principles of Maharaj Prichit can still be continued, and human society can still be improved if there is determination by the authorities. We can still purge out from the state all activities of immorality introduced by the personality of Kali if we are determined to take action like Maharaj Prichit. He allotted some places for Kali, but in fact, Kali could not find such places in the world at all, because Maharaj Prichit was strictly vigilant to see that there were no places for gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. Modern administrators want to banish corruption from the state, but fools as they are, they do not know how to do it. They want to issue licenses for gambling houses, wine, and other intoxicating drug houses, brothels, hotel prostitution, and cinema houses, and falsity in every dealing, even in their own. And they want at the same time to drive out corruption from the state. They want the kingdom of God without God consciousness. How can it be possible to adjust two contradictory matters? If we want to drive out corruption from the state, we must first of all organize society to accept the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And to make the condition favorable, we must close all places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. These are some of the practical lessons from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Gana Chimadandasya Gana Vyana Shalakya Chakshun Militami Tasmai Shri Gurubhe Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastati Guru Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can pick out from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam several things. Innocence and also swift action. The two are not contradictory. The cows are innocent. And when Maharaj Prichit saw that an evil person was beating a cow, he reacted with executive precision. Innocence is a very special thing in Vedic culture. And innocence is to be protected. The ideal leader is not afraid to be decisive because there is a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Today, however, people are afraid of such a clear understanding. They say that there's no right, there's no wrong. The goalposts are always shifting. The conceptions of what is right and what is wrong are always changing. So everyone is indecisive. They don't know what to do. What should we allow? What should we not allow? What should we open? What should we close? Everything just depends on how the people are feeling at the moment and how the politicians are getting their money. There's no consensus at all of what is proper and what is improper. And because there's no consensus what to do and what not to do, therefore everyone says we might as well organize society so that it doesn't depend on what is right and what is wrong. Because who actually knows what is right and what is wrong? Instead, we should focus on making money and consumerism, and in this way transcend any religious conceptions that could be very divisive. Everyone can unite around the need to consume. Everyone can unite around increasing the gratification of your senses. Surely everyone can agree with that. But in terms of religious principles, this is very contentious. Now you notice in this chapter that in the purports, Srila Prabhupada is not talking about accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's talking about the basic principles of civilized life. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So in this way, he's demonstrating the wide scope of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, you're unfortunate. You're not interested right now directly in Krishna. But at least you should be interested in the principles of Dharma, which every civilized person can agree are necessary. How can you have genuine human life without austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness? So then, the Bhagavatam says, take a look at what destroys those four legs of religion. Pride destroys austerity. It's natural that there is pride in a consumer society because of the prevalence of what are called positional goods. Positional acquisitions. Things you buy to declare your social position. And that cause others, when viewing this acquisition of positional goods, to also aspire for that, because that means they're on your level. So the positional goods, the positional acquisitions, they affect everyone. They affect those who can afford the positional things, and they affect those who are motivated that one day I'll get such things and then I'll have a high position. So what is the question of austerity in a consumer society? That has become the religion of the people. How to get more, how to get more, how to get more. There's no question of simple living and high thinking. One becomes conscious of his or her position in society by the items you have. That declares your position. Look what I have. This means I'm on a certain level. Look what you don't have. That means you're on a certain level. So there's no way that there can be any kind of austerity in such a mistaken society. Austerity sounds like a very intimidating word. It simply means that you place your spiritual development first, even if there's some bodily inconvenience. That's all. It doesn't mean you have to go to the Himalayas and live like a yogi. It just means that it's natural in this world you'll feel some physical inconvenience. But you tolerate that on your march, your progressive march towards spiritual development. You don't focus your whole life on dealing with physical inconveniences and forget about your spiritual development. That's austerity. Things will never be perfectly adjusted in this world at this point in time. It's not possible. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, yes, at the very, very beginning of Kali Yuga, it was possible due to the presence of Yudhisthira Maharaj and also the time. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that nature responded perfectly to the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira, providing all natural necessities in such a beautiful, orchestrated way. But Kali Yuga has to come because there are some people who want Kali Yuga. You may wonder, why? Why are we living in such troubled, disturbed times? But these times are wanted by the living entities. They don't exactly want problems. They want the things that cause problems. And they don't understand that these things cause problems. Illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. These things are wanted in Kali Yuga. But it's not understood how these things cause problems. So directly, the living entities in Kali Yuga are responsible for living in such times. They wanted the vices that Kali Yuga proliferates to such a extraordinary extent. Another point we should take notice of is that Prichit Maharaj is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. So he had the blessings of his predecessors. Blessings are very important in spiritual life. We shouldn't think that it's all up to us in terms of our individual endeavors. There have been devotees who have endeavored before us. There are devotees now who are endeavoring along with us. And there'll come future devotees who will be endeavoring to be Krishna conscious. So the intelligent, practical devotee always seeks the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And in that way, your spiritual path becomes more clear. Just like Prichit Maharaj could rule the whole world with great success because of the blessings coming down from his family line. Whenever we have some major transition in our life, whether it's taking this ashram or that ashram or becoming initiated, first initiation or second initiation, or whatever we're embarking upon, marriage, or child production, the intelligent devotee takes the blessings of the Vaishnavas. These blessings are for real. And in seeking out these blessings, you clarify for yourself that you're part of the bhakti sangha, of the association of devotees who are striving to render devotional service. You recognize that there's more to your life than just your own efforts. And that's important. By seeking the goodwill of other devotees, you lose this understanding that I'm the doer and everything is me, me, me. That's very important. Sometimes in our spiritual development, we can become locked up to a great extent within our own skulls, worried about our own mind, worried about what we think we're getting or not getting, and we become exclusively absorbed in this. But by always seeking the goodwill of the Vaishnavas, we remain open-minded. You can see the possibilities of how Krishna is working through others. Otherwise, you become so ingrown and so self-focused. What about me? What about me? Why isn't Krishna giving me what I want? But by being a gracious member of the Society of Devotees, you look around and see how Krishna is caring for others, and you realize, surely Krishna is caring for me too. So we can learn from Prichit Maharaj how to function in a society of devotees, just as he functioned in his family line. He understood that so much of what he's doing owes its success to his predecessors. Maharaj Yudhisthira has retired to the forest, leaving a qualified person to rule the world. That is the Vedic system. Even Kshatriyas, who are so power-bound and so concentrated on royal opulence, at a certain point in their life, they retire and go to the forest. They say enough is enough. In this way, they make it clear what is the ultimate goal of life for everyone. We're living not simply for ourselves, we're also living to set an example for others. And that way we help pay back our debt to human society by setting a proper example. The Bhagavatam says, Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Patrininam. As soon as you take birth in this world, you are a debtor. You're in debt to the demigods for providing the natural necessities. You're in debt to the rishis for their supplying Vedic wisdom. You're in debt to all living entities. Somehow or other, every creature is doing something for you, whether it's a cow or sheep providing wool. And human society in general, you're in debt to for organizing human affairs, and of course the ancestors, Patrinam, who've come before you, your predecessors, have worked so hard to provide a better future for their children if they're good parents. So the Bhagavatam acknowledges all these debts, but it says that simply by performing devotional service, all your debts to ancestors, the demigods, rishis, living entities, human society, they're all canceled. So we acknowledge indebtedness to predecessors, but we also know how to pay that debt. Sometimes people react to bhakti that it involves such concentration on giving pleasure to Krishna, but what about everyone else? Why so exclusive the focus upon Krishna? And sometimes we ask ourselves that question also. Why simply the exclusive focus on Krishna? But then you have to understand, what is Krishna? Krishna includes everyone and everything. If you focus upon Krishna, you are actually focusing on everyone in the most efficient, productive way. But if you try to focus on each individual, it won't work, because the proper way to deal with each individual is not directly, but by going through Krishna. This takes a long time to sink into our heads. It seems so obvious that we are amputated limbs trying to deal with one another. It seems so obvious that we were never connected to a body. So if the amputated hands and feet try to deal with one another, isn't that the most obvious way for success? But you say, no, this is crazy. The amputated limbs should be reconnected to the body and deal with each other through the central purpose of the body. That's a healthy body. By focusing upon Krishna, you become qualified to treat all the parts and parcels of Krishna properly. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. By seeing Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna, you're never lost to Krishna, and he's never lost to you. Seeing Krishna in everyone means knowing how to treat everyone properly. Sometimes there's a fear that if I focus too much on Krishna, I'll neglect relationships with others. But focusing on Krishna includes relating to others, because everyone is part of Krishna. But you'll never catch that reality unless you focus upon Krishna in full understanding, that focusing upon Krishna means the complete whole, which includes all the parts. So what we're really afraid of in our fear of focusing on Krishna is our own ignorance in not understanding who is Krishna, how Krishna is the cause of all causes, how Krishna is the complete whole containing all the parts. We're really afraid of our own ignorance. Anyone who understands actually who is Krishna will enthusiastically engage in devotional service. We can remember the decisiveness of Maharaj Prichit in dealing with the age of Kali personified. People are afraid these days of such decisiveness. Who really knows what's right or wrong? Everything is a gray area. But this section of Bhagavatam presents that there are some universal principles everyone should easily agree on. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. And everyone should agree. What destroys those four principles? Pride destroys austerity. Why should I undergo any inconvenience? What, don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are to put me through some inconvenience? That is pride. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness. There's not much to be said about that. But of course, people are oblivious to this point today. The more random interactions they have, the more successful they think their life is. Meanwhile, their bodily conception of life increases so intensely because of illicit affairs. They are the number one activity for deepening the illusion of bodily identification. Intoxication destroys mercy, because when you're intoxicated, you couldn't care less really about what anyone else is going through. You just want to feel good. You become very dull to the situations of others, and you even become very dull to your own situation. You can't be compassionate upon yourself. You can't be merciful upon yourself. And truthfulness is destroyed by lying propaganda. A consumer society is lying propaganda. You're going to be happy if you get these things. Marketing people are so important in a consumer society for spreading lying propaganda. That's what marketing does. It creates artificial needs in you and then convinces you, agitates you, that you have to have this thing and your life will be better. So that is the modern equivalent of lying propaganda that destroys truthfulness. It's marketing. At the same time, we note the determination and conviction, as Srila Prabhupada writes, the principles of Maharaj Prichit can be still continued and human society can still be improved if there is determination by the authorities. We can still purge out from the state all the activities of immorality introduced by the personality of Kali if we are determined to take action like Maharaj Prichit. So where is that determination to take action? This is what you see is missing. No one cares about austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness. Society thinks it has figured out a way to get maximum success without religious principles. And again, this purport is not talking about getting everyone to surrender to Krishna. It's talking about getting everyone just to accept the basics of human life. What this section of Bhagavatam does is save us from unnecessary participation in mundane politics. This section of Bhagavatam is telling us That there's, unless you see the determination to deal with the vices of Kali Yuga, what is the use? You don't have a government. You don't have leaders. So why get caught up in all these things? Human society can still be improved if there is determination by the authorities. You don't see that determination by the authorities, therefore why bother? Don't waste your time in mundane politics. Focus upon your Krishna consciousness, and that way you benefit yourself and so many others. Seek out the blessings of your fellow devotees, just as Prichit Maharaj was riding on the glories of his predecessors. Bhakti is a communal activity. It is said the human being is a social animal. Bhakti yoga is a communal activity, a social activity, which thrives on relationships with others. Because Krishna is the central focus of all those relationships, the relationships have meaning. Krishna is the most social person. He's never alone. He's always surrounded by his loving devotees in intimate affairs. So let us remember the determination of Prichit Maharaj. He's setting the standard and saving us from becoming attracted to mundane solutions. His principles are the basic necessities of human society. In other words, after hearing this chapter, you can say, well, if even these basics are not there, what is the use of mundane politics? We're not talking about sarva dharma prityaja, surrender to Krishna. We're talking about the dharma basics of a human society, which all religions should be able to agree upon. But because there's no determined stand against these vices of Kali Yuga, everyone is ineffectual. The ineffectiveness comes from the lack of determination. The lack of determination comes from the inability to see what is to be done, what is not to be done. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, pravittam cha navrittam cha janatnasura. Janatnavirasura. Those who are demoniac don't know what to do or what not to do. So what is the question of determination? And lastly, we should not forget the role of innocence. Prichit Maharaj was so deeply affected by seeing an innocent cow being beaten. He saw it as his role to protect such innocent creatures. He appreciated the beauty of innocence and immediately declared that as long as I'm present, such innocence will never be jeopardized. So he's showing how a real executive head acts. There'll be no mistreatment of innocent creatures. He took responsibility not simply for the human beings, but also for all animals, all living entities in his empire. That's showing a real government. So this section of Bhagavatam immunizes us against mundane politics. We see what the standard is. We read Srila Prabhupada's challenge. How are you going to expect the kingdom of God without God? The preliminary basis of a kingdom of God means four basic things. Four universal non-sectarian basic things. As long as you don't have those, don't expect any good social condition. So are there any questions? Yes.
You mentioned that by connecting to Krishna more, our relationship with others, like all problems, we'll learn how to connect to all Krishna's devotees, parts and passions better. Please elaborate on how we become more connected to Krishna so that our relationship with others becomes.
Becoming more connected to Krishna means more connected to others, because Krishna contains others. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, approach a bona fide guru, in the next verse he says, and when you've done so, what will be the result? Yajgatra napanamoham. You won't be an illusion anymore. You'll see that all living beings are in me and they're mine. That's the result of having properly approached a representative of Krishna and having surrendered, taking instruction. You'll see that everyone is part of Krishna. They belong to him. That's the result of having properly followed the process. You cannot separate Krishna from his parts and parcels. But there's an authorized way to deal with the parts and parcels. That means water the tree at the root. You can't separate the branches from the tree. If the branches are to live, they're always connected to the tree. But you don't water every branch individually. You water the tree at the root. So there's an authorized way of dealing with everyone. And if you're actually doing that authorized way properly, you're properly dealing with everyone. It is bhakti mysticism. Just like if your stomach digests properly the food, all the body becomes energized. If you're following the authorized process for feeding yourself, then you don't have to worry what's going to happen to the energy for my finger, what's going to happen to the energy for my toes. So the actual authorized process of feeding the whole body benefits all parts of the body. Similarly, if you're actually following the authorized process for satisfying Krishna, then you're also automatically satisfying everyone else. It takes a while to see that. The two go together, satisfying Krishna and satisfying his parts. So it's a good question. We don't want to become hung up and become so self-absorbed. I, me, and mine. My mind. How are you affecting my mind? What have you done for my mind lately? This is a very miserable life. We want to learn how to function in the network of Krishna's devotees. We beg that benediction from the deities. You may notice that in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's very difficult to get away from everyone. You may have noticed. So since that can't be done, we might as well learn how to deal with everyone. And it may take some time. We go through various phases, you know. When you first come to Krishna consciousness, everyone looks like they're angels. And you're very humble. And then a year or two goes by, and what happens? You start to see everyone's faults. And you realize that you're not so bad after all. And they should listen to you. And that their problems are caused by not listening to you. As the years continue to go by, you start to realize, I would never have associated with these kind of persons except for Krishna's service. These are not the kind of persons that I hung out with in the material world. What am I doing with them now? They don't think the way I do. They don't do things the way I do. So then what is your alternative? To go off on your own? But then you become such an easy victim for Maya. By lack of association with devotees, the next step is Vaishnava Aparad and Guru Aparad. Because you must associate with others. If you don't associate with devotees, you associate with non-devotees. And they fill your head with so many conceptions that eventually cause you to offend devotees and offend the spiritual master. You start thinking, why did I listen to everyone when I was associating with devotees? Why was I so strict? There's a whole world out there that's not following. I can also be like that. I was talking to one devotee who was speaking to me like that. I was asking, why did you do such and such vice of Kali Yuga? He said, well, you know, in ISKCON, it's considered a vice, but in the wider world, these things are acceptable. This is what happens when you associate with non-devotees. Consciously or unconsciously, you commit offenses. You start taking on the mundane standard. Well, in ISKCON, they are a bit fanatical. They have their stance on the vices of Kali Yuga. But if you look in the wider world, the big world, then they start saying, the real world. Now, these things are acceptable. No one gets disturbed so much by them. So if you trace the beginning of such an attitude, it stems from dropping association with devotees, positive association, just getting locked up in our own head. Association with devotees is an art, a transcendental art. I always explain that. It's empowerment from Krishna how to deal with devotees. We should always beg the deities for that art, that science. The last thing we want to do is miss out on the nectar of association with devotees by just becoming locked up in our own skull. You know what that means? Locked up in your own skull. Me and my mind, we get along. Any other questions? Yes?
Even though, what there was something about the appearance of Shyamananda Pandit to the PNG.
Yeah. Shyamananda Pandit is a great Vaishnava in our line. And we are perceiving based on the blessings of such glorious predecessors. His relationship with Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur. That's the standard for Vaishnava camaraderie. Those three were friends, transcendental friends, on the transcendental platform through thick and thin. They practically couldn't live without each other. Of course, they were liberated souls, but still we can try to follow according to our measure. They were not friends based on mundane principles of camaraderie. They were friends based on pure devotional service. So they're showing, just like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan showed, those three, Shyamananda, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, they're showing the possibilities for real fraternal affairs, real friendliness. We can only strive to follow in their footsteps. Other questions? Yes?
Ramaj, how do we deal with insecurity or envy that prevents us from graciously accepting the service or the circumstance that's given to us?
Insecurity or envy? Which one? What do you mean by insecurity?
That our circumstances are
our circumstances of service are not as good as others. Can you give an example, please?
That somebody else has a better service than I do.
What is a better service?
A service that can be more pleasing to spiritual master.
Well, it probably helps. If you're concerned about what's pleasing to the spiritual master, it's probably a good idea to ask. Rather than speculate. Or is there a language barrier? Yes, why not ask? If you want to understand what pleases someone, the best way is to ask. And what was the other one?
Oh, envy.
Envy. Envy of whom? Envy of Krishna in the heart, thinking he doesn't know how to look after us. A lot of our complexities are due to situations we've gone through in the material world. Kali Yuga means separation, abandonment, abuse. So when we first come to bhakti, we have a lot of these complexities and we mix them into our devotional service. But after a while, we should become more advanced and understand so that we don't blame Krishna for what we went through in Kali Yuga because we wanted Kali Yuga. We have to take the blame for Kali Yuga. We didn't want the problems of Kali Yuga, certainly, but we wanted the vices. We wanted to take birth at such a time. The whole material world is based on desire. In one sense, Krishna does not create the material world. The material world is created by the desires of the living entity. Krishna is just facilitating their desires. So that's why the living entities have to take the blame, not only for Kali Yuga, but for the entire material existence. They're like little children who are constantly bugging the father. I want to do this. I want to do this. Finally, the father says, all right. Here's a facility for you to follow your mistaken desires and see where they lead. It's important to study Srila Prabhupada's books so that transcendental intelligence develops. And we can discriminate between what is in our consciousness due to traumas from the past and what is some spiritual issue that we have to deal with. But in the beginning, you merge it all together. One is not able to separate influences lingering in your consciousness from past mundane experiences. You mix all that in with your present devotional service and it causes so much trouble. By reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, your intelligence becomes sharp. You can see, why am I blaming Krishna for this? This is my own problems that I went through in material existence. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, in the earlier purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Maharaj Parikshit restored the three limbs of the bull. Now, if Maharaj Parikshit has restored it, then how do we understand it, that in Kali Yuga the only one limb is now remaining, if he has already restored it?
Wow. What's happening to that last limb, you're asking?
I thought Prabhupada writes there that three limbs were restored by Maharaj. If they were restored, then how come now we understand that those three limbs don't exist and only truthfulness exists? How could we understand?
Because Prithvi Maharaj is gone. And truthfulness the last remaining leg is under attack by a consumer society. That's why we explain. You put marketing people in charge of your society, that means you're putting lives in charge of your society. Marketing is considered an honorable profession these days. You see, Pritcha Maharaj left this world voluntarily. He did not have to submit to the curse of the Brahmana boy Srini, but he knew, Krishna wants me out. Because Kali Yuga has to come in full force. Pritcha Maharaj gave Kali Yuga no place to thrive. But living entities want Kali Yuga, so Maharaj Pritcha knew, Krishna wants me out of this world. It's time for Kali Yuga to come in full force, and it won't happen as long as I'm here. Also, by my accepting the curse of the Brahmana boy, Srimad Bhagavatam becomes spoken. So therefore, what was Pritcha Maharaj's conclusion? Let the snake bird bite me. I don't care as long as I can go on hearing the glories of Krishna. So he's showing the perfectional standard of Shravanam, hearing about Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami is showing the perfection of Kirtan, speaking about Krishna. Kali Yuga means that all four limbs of religion have to go. And then people wonder, oh, why are we suffering? Why are there so many economic, political, environmental problems? But anyone who reads First Canto very closely, they're spared from all that unnecessary agonizing, wasting time seeking mundane solutions. They're saved from that. They're immunized permanently. They can never look at a mundane situation in the same way. They see it now through transcendental eyes. What's the use of all this politicking? You have no program for establishing mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity. So in this way, the Bhagavatam is saving us from wasting our time. Is immunizing us, protecting us. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.